is URN University Radio Nottingham.
Hello and welcome back. We're now going to be talking about International Women's Day because it is International Women's Day. And as part of that, we are very honoured to be joined by the Women's Officer, Noah Holt. So we're just going to be talking to Noah about sort of International Women's Day and what the SU have been doing. So hi, Noah.
Hiya, thank you for having me.
No worries. So thank you for coming on as well. So just to start off, can we ask what the SU is doing for International Women's Day?
So we've got a few specific events for International Women's Day and Women's History Month. So firstly, tomorrow, get yourself down to Mooch because we're going to be doing a Mooch Live Women's Network edition, which will be solely women's artists. It's going to be about celebrating the female voice and empowering the female voice. Then next week, we've also got an event which will be just like a social for those who identify as feminists. It's going to be painting and free drinks, so check out the Women's Network Instagram page for more details on that. And then on top of that, we're also planning on some careers events later on in the month, so for women in male-dominated industries such as tech and finance. But then obviously there's the other side of things, which is continuing the campaigns we've been working on this year and really giving them a push this month, as this month is about celebrating womanhood and the female voice.
Great. I also just wanted to ask, how have you found being Women's Officer this year so far?
I absolutely love being Women's Officer. It is like my favourite thing that I've done at university by far. I've learned so much, and that is like one of the reasons why I want to stay at this SU. Like, sorry, I'm not being very coherent, but yeah, I absolutely love it. The people I've met, the changes I've implemented, and everything I've learned and the skills I've developed, like, are unmatched with any other experience.
So are there any specific accomplishments that you're most proud of this year?
That's a hard question because firstly, I feel like everything that I've achieved this year is not just me. There's been so many people involved. We've worked really closely. So, for example, my committee worked really closely with SAS and Sexpression and also the student voice team. But I would say what I'm most proud of would be the implementation of mandatory consent training, which we plan to start next year, in which every student that comes to this university will get in-person, mandatory and engaging consent training.
That sounds great. Just also to sort of like round off a bit, why do you think International Women's Day is so important, or like what's so important about it for you? I know that's a difficult question.
Yeah, it is a hard question because with all of these sort of days and special months for marginalised groups, it is frustrating that we have to have a specific day or a specific time to celebrate a certain group when really it should happen all year round. But I think that International Women's Day is a day of celebration and a day of saying, look how far we've come towards equality and what can we do next?
Okay, great. Does anyone else on the panel, just to make sure, do anyone else have any questions? If not,
I don't know if you can see.
Yeah, I do. So what made you want to run for Women's Officer? What was it about the University of Nottingham that made you think, yes, I feel best placed to be able to address the issues that face women here?
So I initially ran for Women's Officer because I was really, really, to be honest, I was really, really frustrated with the university and with the student union. I felt like there was very little support for students, especially female identifying students, and I felt that there was a lack of understanding of the issues that we were facing. Specifically, in my first year, I tried to seek support from an incident that took place, and there was no one to help me, and I felt really alienated, and I just ran for Women's Officer because I didn't want that to happen to anyone else. And now, since being Women's Officer, there is a million more reasons why I'm so happy I'm in the role and why I'm so passionate about being in the role, but that's what initially drew me to run, basically.
Do you feel like there's any unconscious bias or any pushback from those within the university or the SU itself against helping women?
There is absolutely a lot of pushback. And this really varies in terms of the form it takes. But I think that the fact that we've had to work so hard this year for like basic consent training to be enrolled at this university, when it's enrolled in most other universities, really does show a sort of a problem that potentially a sense of apathy towards violence, especially sexual violence, and that needs to be addressed. I also think that there's a massive problem with sort of nightlife safety, which isn't being addressed at this university. And again, there's a sense of apathy, which I feel doesn't exist as much elsewhere.
What do you think are the biggest issues that women face on campus?
Such a hard question, because every woman on this campus will have a unique struggle and a unique experience, especially those who sit at the intersections of different identities. So, for example, a black woman might have a very different experience and different barriers than a disabled woman or I don't know, a trans woman, for example. So I think it really works on a case-to-case basis. But I would say the overriding problem, if I had to sort of generalise, would be sort of gender-based violence and a lack of opportunity to empower your voice.
I think those are all of my questions.
Okay, great. Just to sort of reiterate the things that are going on at the university and some of the things you've already mentioned, though. So there's an Inspiring Women in STEM evening, I think this evening from 6 p.m. To celebrate International Women's Day. The university's hosting Inspiring Women in STEM, which is like a virtual talk aimed at current and prospective students, so you can book your place for that. There's also Women's Artist Evening on the 9th, which is hosted by the Women's Network. A bake sale as well, which will be in the Student Union Portland building on the 16th of March. That's for the registered charity SHE. And then there's also Let's Talk Periods and Menopause International Women's Day, which will be hosted on Wednesday, 22nd of March, which is online via Teams. And it's an interactive session with two guest facilitators and experts in the field to help understanding and awareness about menstruation and menopause and like period poverty and things like that. So you can book your place for that on the university website, and I'm sure you can find out about the SU sort of events on the SU website, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and also obviously if anyone has any questions about the events taking place, sorry, those are actually events that I completely forgot to mention, but yeah, just drop the Women's Network a message on Instagram if you want to get involved.
Thank you for coming on, Noah.
Thank you so much for
having
me.
Could I just ask one more question? Yep. You just there's just like I've just heard those events for the first time, like I had no idea they were happening. In terms of promotion of these sorts of events, do you think there's anything that could be improved? I mean, this is a general point in the with the SU, but obviously specifically towards these events that are happening for International Women's Day and such. I've never heard of them, and I'm in Portland all the time. Do you think there's anything we could do to improve that?
So I'm actually really glad that you raised that point, because I mean, this is sort of me going on a tangent a bit, but there is a problem with the engagement and workload of part-time officers. So this is absolutely a passion project for me. I really love it, and I put all the spare time I have into the Women's Network, and yet I still do not have time to advertise in the Student Union as much as I want to. And that is really because part-time officers, even though it says it's a part-time role, it very much does feel like a full-time job a lot of the time. It's hours and hours of dedication and commitment, just not just from me but also from my whole committee, and there doesn't really feel like much reward for it, to be honest. And then because we put all that time in, so that is the issue, basically, is that there's not enough time, and I think that part-time officers really should either be a full-time role or get some sort of stipend in exchange for their actions.
Yeah, because when I look at the list of part-time officer roles, they often just seem to be about marginalised groups, which are obviously really important to give representation to those groups in the form of a role. But the idea of sort of, I don't know, this is just my opinion, but the idea of minimising these groups into, okay, you only deserve part of somebody's time to vote on this issue, where I'd say that on the part-time officer roles, such as women's officer, newly for this year, trans officer, disabled students officer and such, these are issues that require somebody, as you said, working full-time to address these issues. And so I definitely agree that part-time officer roles and should become full-time officer roles to be able to give them the amount of dedication that they deserve, because it's ultimately not fair to expect you to do so much work on top of your degree, and in order to have these issues be properly dealt with and to properly give justice to them, we shouldn't put so much pressure on those people who are in the roles.
Exactly. And the other thing to remember as well is that the Women's Network isn't just, like, it's not a society, it's a network. So on top of all these socials that we're arranging, there's also a large number of campaigns and work that goes on behind the scene that people don't realise takes place. And the other thing to mention, which I think is important to say, is that especially with the introduction of the class equity part-time officer this year, I think it is slightly ironic that we're encouraging for class equity, and yet there's a role in the student union that you can essentially only do if you have financial support from elsewhere, or if you don't need to work on top of your studies. Because realistically, I don't see any part-time officer being able to do their officer job effectively, keep on top of their studies, keep good mental well-being, and have a part-time job. That's not going to happen. So I do feel like there needs to be greater inclusion of part-time officers through some sort of stipend, which is something that we've been working towards.
I mean, I think some of these issues were supposed to be sort of addressed with the liberation officer role. I mean, do you feel that you've been supported by the liberation officer, or do you feel like it's still very much a different role?
I've been working really closely with the liberation officer this year, Aoife. They're amazing and they work really, really hard. But again, it's sort of a problem of just not enough time. And that's really a shame, because I do really feel like I could be working on this full time. I do really feel like I could be working on this full time and still not enough would be done.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for coming on. I'm going to play a song now and then we're going to get back into our standard pulse. But yeah, thank you to Nova for coming on.
DJ! This is URN University Radio, Nottingham.